My fellow Americans and all those listening overseas, welcome back to Visiting the President. I'm your host, Joe Fakash, and today we aren't getting in our cars to drive anywhere. We're going to talk about what we visited in season one. I am planning to do a recap and go through my favorite sites as well as give out some other awards, but I did want to turn this episode over to you. I asked for listener feedback, and I'm excited to share some of that with you and then also give you some of my takes on it as well. But I wanted this to be a big thank you to all of you who've listened and donated, as well as hopefully getting you excited for what's to come in season two. This has been a real labor of love, something I've really enjoyed getting to do. And I'm just so excited that you've been able to go along with me for the ride. We visited 45 different presidential birthplaces. I know those of you who are sticklers keeping track at home, yes, the Adamses were born within a few yards of one another. And yes, I know Grover Cleveland was elected twice, but you know what I'm talking about. Before I get going too far, I did want to, again, thank those who had donated to the podcast. I know in the past I've given you the list, and I did want to at least give you some insight into some of those names that you're hearing. Some of the big donors are people that I know and I'm close to, my parents being first and foremost. So when I say Tom and Sammy, that's them. Dennis and Debbie are my aunt and uncle, and they've also been big supporters. And then my younger sister, Brittany Mellon, is a more recent donor. She's also somebody who's gone to a few sites with me, and so maybe down the road you'll get to hear from her. For my parents, I definitely want to get an interview with them. They indulged my presidential nerdery at a very early age, my dad most notably, but then in terms of incorporating those into other visits. And in recent years, we've been able to visit a few sites together, and they're always excited by it. And I was just always very touched when my mom would send me images of her and my dad listening every Tuesday night. They would make a big show of listening to it together and going through the website. And that's the kind of parents everybody should have. And not every president got to have those kinds of parents, but I do count myself lucky when looking at, you know, what the alternative could have been. I also had another family who was big supporters, and that is the Wehrkamp family, Terry and Nancy Wehrkamp, with Nancy being my elementary school music teacher. She is the one who I always credit giving me my singing ability. I don't think she would take credit for that, but they raised three wonderful children, and all three are listeners and supporters in some fashion. And most notably, in terms of donating, Connie and her husband, Adam Luck, are big supporters. They also visited a few sites this summer and would send me images from that. And then Laurel, who is a big supporter on the Instagram page, which I definitely appreciate, and she has been a big listener as well. Laurel, your brother-in-law wanted me to point out that you are not listed among the donors, so you need to get on that. I'm not saying that. He's saying that. And then their aunt, Aunt Gail, who has been another supporter, Gail Rittenhouse, who has been another supporter of the podcast. When I first moved to Arizona, she's one of the first and only Arizonans that I knew, and she and I would go to different cultural sites together and meet up and just get to see all that Arizona has to offer. And it's just wonderful having that kind of support here as well. My good friend from high school, Sean Jones, we've stayed in good contact, and he's been a supporter of the podcast, giving me some ideas and feedback on some episodes. And in the same fashion, a very good friend, Matt Hochstetler, who is from Central Ohio, but is right now in Florida. You got to hear from Matt earlier in the season when we visited the Harding sites together, and he did an interview for me. But he has been by far the biggest contributor to my social media feed, and then giving me just constant feedback about the podcast and how much he's enjoying listening to different parts and things that he wants to see in future seasons. And so that's been a big help as well. There are other names that up until this last year I wouldn't have known and are just people who have reached out because of the podcast. And so I did want to say thank you to Stephen Gilroy, AJ Mira, I've been mispronouncing that the whole way, April McKenzie, and then Caitlin Callahan. And then a special thanks to Kurt Dion, who operates Kurt's Historic Sites, a website where he visits all of the different presidents and their vice presidents. And then he has a whole list of people that he's going to visit as well. I know he just reached his 1,000th gravesite of a historic person or famous person. And so he's been really fun to get to know and has a lot of insight into the social media landscape for this unique corner of the internet where we're all just presidents nerds. And it's just been really amazing getting to know him. I did also want to say a special thanks to two big contributors early on in the podcast with helping it get off the ground. And that was my friend Shannon Crossland, who helped me with the graphics for the thumbnail image that you see. And then as well, Craig Hunter, who did the music intro and outro that you hear. I think they've helped give it a distinctive flair. And so I did want to say a special thank you to them. As well, there have been other listeners who have given me ideas from the beginning and, you know, helping to guide the gestation of this project. Two of my best friends, Harvey Hyman and then Jim Hyman, who are very good about helping me think through the kind of structure of it. Caitlin Kelly, who very good about other podcasts and what she likes and what she doesn't like. In the same way, Nate Keenel was very good with his insights there. And then Stephanie Gaskill and Lana Demers, who are also in their own ways very good about giving me new ideas and things that I should be thinking about, and certainly looking forward to future seasons as well. When I started this series, if you recall, this was an idea that I was starting to work on about this time last year, in the fall into winter of 2020. We were coming into a really ugly election period, but the idea of a turnover was something that was making me even more interested in kind of, okay, what do we appreciate about the office? What did I like about it early on? And then certainly the idea that I was going to be quarantined for my spring, where I was going to be teaching online, and the idea of being by myself and not having an outlet, that was something I did not look forward to. And so this became a kind of interesting way to have that kind of expression. Now, one of the things that I kind of underestimated from the outset was the social media aspect of it, the keeping up with the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram pages. Certainly took on a life of its own. I wanted to be consistent and have different content all the time, but it also meant I had to kind of always be on. And that was something that, you know, certainly did add up over a while. Even when I would be traveling, you know, the episodes were coming out every week. I was very consistent about that. And I'm very proud of that. You know, when I was looking at podcasts that I enjoy, one thing that I appreciate above all else is consistency. That I wanted to have something that I could count on, that I wanted something that you knew was going to show up, that it was going to give you the information that you sought. And that's what I wanted to be for people. And so I think having the same template that I ran with every week is something that maybe some of you appreciated, but certainly the idea of the consistency is something that I wanted to make a huge point about. Now, that also meant that I had to really plan ahead when it would come to my travels, when it would come to my going back and forth across the country. You know, I always have to make sure that I am sure about how much time I have and that there are episodes in the hopper. And I am very, like I said, very proud that that came to pass. So that was something that I did have in place. Getting the word out is something that has really kind of given me pause. I think growing up the way that I did, where we were certainly raised not to like brag about yourself, is something that I had to work to overcome, like telling people that they should listen to it and telling them to share it and to like it. And all of those things don't necessarily, they don't come easily to me. Believe it or not, like, I'm not at all a shy person. I'm not somebody who shies away from the spotlight, but bragging about myself has always just felt weird. And trying to get people to see me as an authority on this topic is something that I really had to work into. And I know that might come to, as a big surprise to those of you who know me well, but that is something that I really had to work on, and I'm hoping to get better as we continue. That's where you all have been very helpful in, you know, helping to spread it. Just to see the numbers continue to grow week after week was always a source of real inspiration for me, that people would reach out. You don't know how much that means to somebody who's doing something like this, where you are taking a risk, you are putting yourself out there. And for me to kind of share not just the historical information, but then also my own experiences, that was something that, you know, does take a little finesse. And so, you know, I do want to thank all of you for kind of reaching out as that part progressed. I did want to at least set the landscape for what you can expect from season two. I am planning to take a little bit of a break. I'm right now just starting the research part and putting all my ducks in a row for when I come back. The series started on January the 20th, which was Inauguration Day in 2021. I'm aiming to restart for season two on President's Day. I can give you that as the deadline that I have set for myself, and you should see stuff. But One thing that I do want to make you aware of in the intervening time is to keep an eye out on the social media page. I'll still be updating with different sites that I visit and other information as it might occur. But I'm also going to be, remember, going back to old episodes, my revisiting the presidents and updating these presidential sites when I have gone back, certainly in 2021, and what was my experience in the time since I recorded it. So I'll let you know on social media when those episodes drop, but they won't be like huge undertakings, but should at least whet your appetite for what you can expect from season two. Now with season two, remember, we're focusing on the homes. And so that's going to mainly be the houses that the president and now his first lady are going to be living in. Now, for some of those presidents, they moved around a lot, and so I'm going to hopefully be giving you an idea of what those places look like. But if there's one specific place, for instance, if we're talking about Thomas Jefferson, it's going to be some about Poplar Forest, but a lot about Monticello, right? And if we're talking about Abraham Lincoln, it's going to be a lot about Springfield. It's going to be a lot about his home there. Now, there's also going to be where I cut off season one about 10 years before the presidency. So what I'm going to do in season two is give you the 10 years between that time and leading up to the presidency. This isn't a podcast that's focused on the policies in each presidency, and I want to be careful about getting too deep into that. There are a lot of podcasts who do that and do that very well, and I'm not trying to come for their crown or anything like that. I really am more focused on the historical preservation and the ephemera of it, and so I do want to at least make that part distinct. I'll hopefully be giving you some links to other podcasts if that's what you're interested in, is the 4 or 8 years that they're president. That is something that I can kind of help you navigate. Probably going to be giving like highlights and lowlights of the presidency and call it a day there, just so you're aware. We're also going to be getting into the first ladies. We weren't talking about many of the first ladies up until this point, but this is in season two where they're going to drop in. We're also going to be talking about their children and their relationship to their wives and children. And so that's going to be a twist on what we talked about in season one, their parents and their relationship with their parents. Now we're going to be turning it and seeing how that impacts them this time around. We're also going to be looking at a bit of the election. A lot of the episode will be about those homes that they lived in and how you can go and get to experience their different houses. With a lot of the presidents, one thing to keep in mind with season two is that just like with season one, we're going to be talking about a lot of presidents whose homes are available up until a certain point, right? Even now, the last home that you can go through and get to visit is Lyndon Johnson's. And after that, we're talking about a lot of presidents who lived in kind of private or gated communities and some that aren't available to the public. Jimmy Carter has at least announced that he will give his present home to the National Park Service, but that isn't true for every president. And so some of them we are just going to have to look at from a distance. But it doesn't keep us, I want to be clear, from being able to enjoy the homes and their home life. So that is something I want to at least make clear about. Just to remind you, in season three, then we will go into their later years, their post-presidency and death, and then talking about their grave sites and how they're commemorated. Season four would then look at their libraries and museums, and some of those are official museums and libraries, others are unofficial, and then we'll be talking about other associated presidential sites. So just to kind of give you the lay of the land in terms of what you can expect from season two. I did have a form that I asked listeners and then people who were using the Instagram page and Facebook to fill out and just to give feedback on season one. Are there the questions I asked were, did you have a favorite episode? What was your favorite aspect of each episode? Then were you inspired to visit presidential homes of your own, or whose home would you like to visit? And then anything else in general. And I received quite a few responses, and I did want to share some of them with you just to give you a wide array of the responses. I was really impressed when it came to the first question about, did you have a favorite episode? How many different responses there really were. And I'll just read you a few of them. And the one, if I had to pick out the two or three whose names came up the most often, it was definitely Jimmy Carter. I think that one resonated with a lot of you. certainly in the idea that he is alive and with us, that he still lives in his hometown. So that does make him distinct from a lot of the other living presidents and certainly the more recent presidents. I had a response that said all of the episodes before the 20th century. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with the idea that some of the more recent ones we just know a lot about, right? And so the more obscure ones might have been a bit more interesting. John Tyler got a few, Barack Obama, Teddy Roosevelt being a proud New Yorker, George W. Bush, there were a few, Reagan, John Adams, Calvin Coolidge's, and I think because I love Calvin Coolidge's birthplace, maybe that one stuck out. Talking about Bill Clinton, Martin Van Buren. I personally like the older episodes because it was fun to learn about the first few presidents and their often wild upbringings. Andrew Jackson, for that reason, got a lot of responses. Grover Cleveland, I have a good guess as to who responded with Grover Cleveland. And then my favorite was from my former student, Max Lightham, who wrote all episodes that include the words, "I am your host, Dr. Joe Fakosh." And yeah, that would be all of them. When I asked what was your favorite aspect of each episode, again, we have a wide array. The personality types and their relationships with their parents, the breakdown of the physical locations and the descriptions and details of the dwellings themselves, the history of the presidents, my own passion. I like the obscure facts that you add in. My bubbly nature was one that I got. The family history, a lot of you really responded to the childhood stories and about how they rose to power. I really enjoyed that as well. And I think anybody who has experienced this kind of, you know, wandering through the wilderness in your years between teenager and adulthood, you can maybe relate to some of the presidents. Even I would find myself when I would go through some of these episodes, like really not knowing too much about these intervening years and what it must have been like, you know, that they, all of these men ended up in the White House, but they took such winding paths to get there. And that to me was something that really stood out. Again, a lot of you were really interested in the families. I enjoyed learning about their home life, childhood interests, and their relationships with their parents. It humanizes presidents in a way that we don't often get to see. It was so interesting to hear about the childhood and upbringing of each president. I also loved hearing about their personal journeys to each birthplace. You've been doing this for years, so it was very nice to hear about it all. And that one was from my younger sister. I liked learning about the relationships with their parents. And I also found it interesting how many of the birthplaces burned down in fires, which is very interesting. And then certainly the idea of comparing and contrasting if you've gone to visit some of the sites. I know some of you might have been to one or a few. And so understanding like what I've visited. And again, what one of the things I find so interesting is just how much they've changed in the time that I've visited. You know, I'll go back and look at this and like, oh, they're adding a visitor center to the Grover Cleveland site or whatever it might be. That is really exciting to me. So it's always changing. You know, I definitely think you could just check these off of a list. But at the same time, like I love getting to revisit them mainly for that fact. One of my favorites was from my friend Stephanie, where she said, "You make yourself laugh. It always makes me laugh." I also like learning about their parents, especially the moms who sang hymns. And I do make myself laugh a lot. I think that's one way that I can tell I'm having a good time. And when I go back to listen to some of the episodes, it makes me laugh again. So I'm glad that some of you enjoy that. And I'm hoping that that is something that resonates with many of you. I was really interested to hear about your own experiences and if you were inspired to go to see some of them. And again, I got so many different responses about which sites you wanted to see. So I'm just going to read you a few. I can't say that my entire family would enjoy visiting any of the presidential sites at this time, but I would like to say either the Virginia presidential homes or some of the more ramshackle sites. One responder said Washington's and William Henry Harrison's. I visited Andrew Jackson's home. I keep going to all of these places with you. This is for Stephanie. Those Nixon and Reagan libraries were fascinating. This inspired me to keep going. I would love to see Washington's birthplace. Another responder said it's been a bucket list item to visit all of the presidential graves. But since listening to your podcast, I would like to add some other locations to that goal as I travel. And I definitely think that's something that I experienced, right? When I first started doing this, it was going to be about just the grave sites, but then I was like, why am I not visiting the homes or the birthplaces? And as I sat down and started charting them all out and mapping, you know, where I would have to go, that is what I fell in love with. And I think the more the merrier was kind of my attitude. I went to see Monticello and Highland. Yes, I want to visit Lincoln and Truman. I already checked off a couple. I'd really like to go to Braintree and to see Teddy's house in New York City. Yes, I visited JFK, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Rutherford Hayes, and the Bush family. William Henry Harrison's, Obama, to go visit Hawaii. I visited quite a few, but I'd love to visit the ones that I haven't. I haven't visited them yet, but I want to go to all the Virginia spots and see George Washington's birthplace. I need to start with the closest ones, and I get that. I visited a few on my own. I would love to go to Sherwood Forest. We'll be talking about that in season two. Obviously, to go to Colonel Roosevelt's Sagamore Hill, that's a big one. I'd love to visit Berkeley and Brookline for JFK. And again, when we talk about my favorites, Berkeley, you're going to hear a bit more about that. And then I'd really like to go to Hoover's and Coolidge's and Harrison's birthplaces. I've not been to any yet. Now, Harrison, I think you're meaning William Henry, because Benjamin's is a bit of a bust, but I would support the trip to North Bend in that you get to see the lovely tomb for William Henry. Anything else that you'd like me to know about season one or about the podcast in general? This was from my friend Sean. You're doing awesome. This is incredible work that you should be sincerely and very proud of. It's stunning. And even if I had gone looking for a historical podcast about US presidents, it'd be hard to imagine finding one that is better, or certainly better organized than this. I'm not listening to this because we're friends. It's because we're friends. You're doing great work, and I'm proud to know you. And that one really touched me. I had one that responded, no, the podcasts are very informative. Another said, I love it and have recommended it to so many others. Friends tell me it's a joy to listen to. That means a lot. Please keep going. I have a few that wrote about that you can't wait for season two or season three. I have quite a few friends who are grave hunters now, and that I think is what's keeping them really interested. And I know that one's going to be a fun season to navigate as well. Next year, my family and I are going to see the Lincoln sites, and hopefully I can talk my wife into it, but go as far as the Truman sites. Now that is a drive, going out to Kansas City. I will definitely be re-listening to the episodes of the sites we will be stopping at along the way. And I love that, right? I think I would have loved that when I would be going to these really obscure places. And I'll definitely be talking about that when I talk about my own experiences and some of the highlights for me. I think the Jimmy Carter episode was my favorite because it was more about your own connection and experience. And this one ends, please mock my sister-in-law, Laurel, for not donating in future episodes. I can give you a clue as to who that is. I liked your mix of content, their personalities, their influences, your travel experiences, and interviews with your travel friends. And I hope you get to hear much more of those. I enjoy your passion for the project. The host does a great job. That one was from my dad. Love the listener questions and Joe's travel episodes. I'm really looking forward to giving you more of those. I look forward to this each week. I'm really amazed by the consistency and quality. That means a lot to me. This was something that I was really nervous about, was the technical aspects, but I'm very glad that people enjoy that. I think you do a good job keeping your personal politics out of the episodes and trying to be as objective as possible. And I really appreciate that. I've told a few of you that I was really nervous about the last maybe half dozen, where the closer we got to people that I've known in my lifetime and the presidents that you've grown up with and are experiencing, it's hard not to have a strong emotion one way or the other. And I don't try to pretend that I'm not political. Any of you who know me in my private life know that I'm very political, but I wanted this to be something that could reach the different audiences. And I wanted us to, you know, in some ways get back to where we could talk about this office and criticize this office and be specific about what we're talking about when we address these individuals and their personality quirks and their relationships and the like, but recognizing also their basic humanity, that they were all children. They all had parents. They all experienced loss. They all experienced, you know, real childhood trauma. When you think about so many of the presidents who lost a parent, and maybe that being one of the main reasons that they kind of go over and above, And then also the thing to me, like I said before, you know, the idea that they were also in many ways not on the right path. They all had people that they thought were their betters and who they were getting left behind for. And again, they all wound up in the same place. And there's something that really resonates to me about that idea that, you know, certainly these are very special people. You know, I have bobbleheads of them and I have posters of them and coloring books that include them, not pretending they're not, but they are people. They are human beings just like you and me. And I think that can be a very important concept that I certainly try to help my students understand. You know, they're just like you. They had the same issues. They struggled with some of the same things. They also were faced with really daunting circumstances. And it's an office that for good and for ill, I think a lot of us kind of lose sight of just what you can expect from that person and also, you know, what the limitations are of that office can be. And so that's something I do appreciate that I try to keep my own politics out of it and really try to be as good about, you know, what you can expect when you go to visit these sites and, you know, what their experiences were. And that's something I really do kind of endeavor to keep at when it comes to season 2 and season 3. And that's something you can definitely look forward to. So that is it with listener feedback. Again, a big thank you to all those who participated and who sent in responses. I was very excited to get to see some of yours and those of you who I know very well. It was always a little fun to get to see your own takes on this. And I will be sharing my rundown of some of my favorite spots in the next episode. Now let's get in our cars and go to visit the presidents. See ya.